God's doing good things in the land. He's last week we had a wonderful service, and there were so many words about what God was going to be doing, we had a Super Bowl. Remember the Super Bowl? Yeah, that's in the history books now. But there was a prophecy that said when the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl, that revival will start. Maybe it will. If it will, praise God. It's about Him and what He wants to do. But we're ready, aren't we? We're ready for something to happen. We're ready for God to be moving in the land. We're ready for something like the Jesus People movement or something, you know, something to actually be stirring the land and checking us out, you know. Jesus People movement really messed up a bunch of people. They, long-haired people, smelly people, no shoes on. They'd come in and they wouldn't respect the order of the service, or you know, they'd sit at the front and cross-legged and listen, and that just brought out the religious people like crazy. They couldn't stand what was happening. And if God's going to be moving, He's going to be doing something that will reveal the religiosity in us. I don't know what it is yet. I hope I recognize it and aren't just ticked, you know. I hate to be one of those, you know. As I could be. But when He moves, are we ready for it? Are you ready with can you talk to the people in your neighborhood? When they say, Hey, what's happening in church? Why is everybody so excited? Why does everybody want to go to church? Why are people lining up to get into church? What's going on? What are you going to tell them? Are you going to say, "Oh, gee, I didn't know you knew I was a Christian"? I tried to hide it, honest. Or are you going to tell them the gospel? Tell them what it's all about. Yes. Well, I wanted to talk about that a little bit today. Surprise, surprise. So if we can turn to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1. This is Paul the Apostle writing to the people in Corinth, in Greece. And he says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers and sisters, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." What a sentence that is. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just stop there just for a second. I want to rest on that. When you hear the power of God, what do you think? Do you think, yeah, that's where my mind goes right away. Healing, signs and wonders, miracles, you know, doing the stuff. But the power of God is bigger than that. It's the power to change somebody from an eternity of death to an eternity of life. It's the power of God that will go forth with words that will change a heart. Change a heart that was dead to a heart that's alive. It's the power of God to have people actually listen to you when you've been beating them with the gospel for years and they've turned you off. All of a sudden, the power comes and they can't hear enough. The power of God is more than the healing and more than the miracle and more than the signs and wonders. It's more. Now, I long for that stuff. I long for it all. You know, I believe that we've been called as a house of healing, and we want to push into that. We want to take that territory. But it's about Him and what He's about to be doing.
Yes, thank
you. Oh, by the way, I'll come back to that in just a second. Ron said that Bill wasn't here, but Bill is here. At the back there, in the middle of the back row there, Bill's the one that's going to be taking us through fit for the gospel or fit for the kingdom. You know? Fit for the kingdom. And so we're grateful to Bill for that. Just so you know, yeah. Just so you know who he is. He's studied faithfully for years about that stuff. But it's about the power of God to move a person from a place that they were to the place that they should be. That's the power this is talking about. So let's pick it up there with that in mind. So my speech, this is verse 4, my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. I didn't hear an amen. The rulers of this age passing away. We were way more political last year. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. That's you. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit, with a capital S, that's the Holy Spirit, searches everything, even the depths of God. Oh, to know the depths of God. Wow. For who knows the person, a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person? It's a small s. The Spirit of that person, which is in him. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. That's again the power of God that changes us from being able to understand spiritually. We couldn't before. It seemed like gobbledygook, but all of a sudden, the words of God make sense. The Word of God is alive. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That is so amazing to me. Now we have access to that But not one of us has the full access to it. We need each other to have the mind of Christ. We need to hear each other and work with each other and be in one another's lives, to have community, to have a family. On our own, we'll be led to some place that isn't healthy because we focus on one thing or another. But together, it's amazing. Together, we have the mind of Christ. For we are the body. The mind is attached. So, these things. You got one of these things? Just a phone. It's supposed to be a smartphone. Sometimes I think it's like a smart aleck. A smartphone is it. There is so much that we can access. It has become the replacement for our camera, the replacement for our little phone, replacement for our day timers. Yeah. Don't let it become the replacement for your family. Or Holy Spirit. Very good. Amen. The smartphone is an amazing tool. And I really think that if Paul was alive today, he would have one. He would use one. He'd be there. But what he talks about today is beyond that. Because he has an issue that he's trying to deal with. Now, these phones, they come with all sorts of things that entice us and call us to them. And we can spend a great deal of time and be distracted by it. I often see that, you know, an announcement in one of the social media that I'm going off of this thing for 2 weeks. I'm going to do a two-week fast from Facebook or whatever it is. What's your favorite social media? I'm going off of this thing because it's taken over my life and I just can't do this. And so people put it aside. They decide that it's just taken up too much time. Now, I'm not here to rail against that. I'm just saying that there's always issues. There's always something to distract us from God, to distract us from the gospel. And Paul is looking at something similar here. Not identical, but it's a dilemma that he wants to stay true to his core values and remember what he is all about. He decides that the wisdom, true wisdom, is centered in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. That's an amazing statement. Wisdom is centered in Jesus Christ, crucified and risen. Amazing. Beautiful. He says in verse 2 in what we just read, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." As is our passion for smartphones, so it's Paul's passion for Christ and the cross. A smartphone, you might say, a smart cross, sorry, you might say, because it is enshrined with the very wisdom of God. The cross is smart. And it's for us to decipher what's there for us. It's an amazing, amazing story for us. I really love 1 Corinthians. It's so full of wonder. Now Paul, you got to remember who Paul is. By reading, "I determined to come to you with no words of wisdom." This guy is right up there. He was trained by the top theological minds of the day. He makes his living by using words that are eloquent, by using words that are beyond many people. When we read later, he uses words like propitiation. Propitiation. Now, most people don't even know what that word is. And I don't want to belabor that, but he uses incredibly full words from time to time because he is so intelligent. And he's going to Greece. They honored wisdom there. Wisdom is Sophia to them. And wisdom was the most amazing thing to them. There was a Greek philosopher named Cicero who said that if you cannot eloquently share your theories or your ideas, then you shouldn't talk at all. So Cicero would have said to Paul, unless you're going to use everything you have to convince us, don't bother coming and telling us that. But Paul said, I'm not going to do that. I'm coming to you with what is really the wisdom of God. Not the wisdom of man, but the wisdom of God himself. And that's the cross of Christ. The cross is amazing. And what it bought for us, we partook what it bought for us today. Although he said it was folly to the Greeks, what he was talking about was actually the wisdom of God. So, if he came today, like Corinth was a cosmopolitan, rich, sophisticated city at the time. It was a Roman city in Greece. So it was a city that was on the cutting edge of everything. It would be like San Francisco, maybe, or you know, like some place that had all of the cutting edge right now stuff happening in it. And Paul came, and he could have easily fallen into that and tried to battle sword on sword, you know. So, but he came going low. Or what it would appear to be going low. And that's what usually happens in Christianity. You go low and everything changes because God can be raised up from there. God will decide when he's going to push in. And so if you have an attitude of serving and of being a servant, a one that is, doesn't want to have the light shining on him, or her. You want to be one that God is going to lift you up. Then he can do that. That's his wisdom. And that's what he does. If we think we know it all and we think we want to share all that we've attained, all that I have the answer to this thing, then most often we find that ears are closed to that. But what we do find is that when we say, I think that God may have something to say, and I'll share it with you if you want to hear it, that often God will open up a heart and we'll be able to share. That's the power of God working. And it's an amazing tool. Amazing tool. He is so, so delightful. Paul says, verse 4 and 5, my speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on the power of God. That's the heart of Paul's approach to his message about Jesus. It keeps it plain and keeps it simple. So that Christian faith might rest entirely on the power of God. It's a message and a method that we need to hear and employ today. The message is Christ crucified and risen. The message may appear dumb and stupid to many, but to us who can spiritually discern, it is the power of God. The method is to live as though the message is true, which it is. How many of us actually live like we believe that the message is true? How many of us actually would have our neighbors say, we know that he's a Christian or she's a Christian? How many of our kids or grandkids really know, or they're able to say, I want to be a Christian because they're Christian? Or because we don't live the way that the cross would have us live, are we putting people off? I don't know how many Christian leaders I know that their kids are not following the Lord. Because church is one thing when we meet together, but it's quite another thing at home. And that's a travesty. That's so sad. I'm not trying to bring guilt or shame to anybody. It's just that we need to live like the message that we proclaim is true. Because it is true. It is true. There is nothing more true. Christ on the cross is God's wisdom, according to Paul. Secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages. That was verse 7. None of the sophisticated rulers of the world understood this, he says. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But we members of the Christian community can understand it because these things God has revealed to us in the Spirit. We have access to the Spirit that knows the depths of the thoughts of God. The depths of the thoughts of God. That boggles my mind to think about what that might mean. What those thoughts go to. And his thoughts of you are always good. Always good. There is not one thought that he's had about you that is bad. Not one. In the depths of who he is, he's not holding something back and saying, well, that guy or that gal, you know, they just smarten up. He's not thinking that about you. He loves you. So wonderful. With the Spirit of God in us, we can understand the wisdom of what Christ accomplished on the cross. Now listen, this is out of 1 Peter 2, verse 24. He bore our sins in his body on the cross so that, free from sins, we might live for righteousness. He bore our sins on the cross so that we might be free from sin. Now that doesn't mean that as a Christian you don't sin. You can choose to sin. It's just that you're no longer under the umbrella of that kingdom. The power of sin no longer runs your life. You actually have to say, no, I'm going to be bad today. I'm going to do this thing because I want to do it. And you can go ahead and sin. But I don't recommend it. You can live righteously. You can live righteously. Living in him because he paid the price for you to be no longer under that domain. No longer where you have to sin. You can, but you don't have to. You can actually live a righteous life. In Galatians 1:4, it says, he gave himself for our sins to set us free. Colossians 1:20 says, God reconciled all things to himself through Jesus by making peace through the blood of his cross. Oh, peace. Looking toward his own death, Jesus said, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. John 12:32. And in John 15:13, he says, and he did it to show us how much he loves us, saying, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. That's the wisdom of the cross. In a cross that brings us forgiveness, sets us free, reconciles us to God, draws us to Jesus, and shows us how much he loves us. This wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God shares that wisdom with us. And if we turn our hearts to him every day, he will share that with us again and again and again. He just wants us to turn to him. Just so wonderful. So wonderful. So, smartphones are effective in this day. And they can be used to as a kind of a window for the world to see who we are and why it is that we're different. I think that most of us want to use it as a tool to show them why it is that we're the same. Why it is that we're having as much fun as them. But it could be a tool to say, there is something different about us. And I want to let you in on my life and the way that Christ made me available to you through the cross. Smartphones and communications that we have now, we can connect with a neighbor that we normally would not have been able to connect with. More and more, our society is becoming isolationist. More and more people don't want to go out. They're afraid to go out at night, afraid to go out in the day. They're, you know, everything, they want to be cocooned and have everything delivered to them. And you can do that. You can have your groceries delivered. You can have your stream in all of your entertainment. You can everything. You don't have to go out now. So what does God make available to us? A smartphone where we can go into their place with their invitation as they read about what their neighbor is up to. And so we have access to them as we as servants allow them access to us. That's not about us showing them, oh, look, I'm having such a good time. This is what I'm eating today. I'm not going down that trail. God has a way for us to communicate if we will but talk to him about it. We don't have to be like everybody else. We have something way better. Way better. The insurance salesman can have access to you through your smartphones because he thinks he has something better for you that will actually make him money in the short term and hopefully not pay off, you know, your life insurance. So that they make nothing but profit from you and you get nothing out of it in the end because you don't qualify anymore after you're a certain age. He can have access to you with something that he thinks you need. Why can't we have access to them with something that they do need? Right. And nobody wants to talk to an insurance salesman, but we end up doing it. And we're usually grateful when we do. But they may in their... Paul says that they don't understand things because they are not spiritually minded. And so when we push in just a little bit and start to talk to them about God, they think they don't want to hear it. But there is something in them that wants to hear it.
Yes, that's right.
Because he will have been working on them already.
Yes.
And he's preparing them. And so they, when his spirit blows, like when there's a revival or a move of God or something like that, it becomes much easier to share the gospel. It's just, are we willing then? Or have we been preconditioned by years of nothing working? Well, I have nothing to share with you. I don't think you'll make it as a Christian. Being a Christian is just too darn hard. You'll fail. Right? You ever thought that? You're not strong enough to be a Christian. Because that's sort of what we've been going through. But it's to test our hearts and to see if we'll be ready when he starts to blow upon the world with a revival heart. He blowing his love upon everybody in the world. And then will we share his love? Will we share our testimony? They overcame the enemy with the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life unto death. That's Revelation 12, I think. But can you share a simple testimony of what God has done in your life? Are you ready to do that? Or are you sick and tired of nothing happening when you do? Of being rejected and having your neighbors hate you? Because it will change. And Paul says to do it simply. Simple words. Don't come in like you've got to be the best of the best, which is where the pressure is on us to be. You know, only the best, only the TED Talk people can talk people into becoming Christian, right? Only those ones that have it all down and all just in place, buttoned down, can actually bring anybody to God. It's not going to be that way again. It'll be in a way that you and your neighbor talking about shoveling snow, and all of a sudden his spirit will be there and you'll say, I'm a Christian. I don't know if you knew that. And I want to tell you about what he's done in my life. Something simple, something beautiful, but something that has the power of God in it. The wisdom of God is being expressed through you. Your mom said you'd amount to something. This could be the day. Where you will see a miracle take place. Somebody come to Christ. Someone's eternity is changed. Somebody in a heartbeat brings rejoicing in heaven. That's what we get to look forward to. And I believe that it's about to be upon us. Are we ready? Are we ready? It's not that I'm holding on to a prophecy that may or may not have been from God. I don't know. But know that God is to be known primarily in the preaching of the crucified Christ. That's where the power is. That's where the wisdom is. To hang on to Jesus Christ and what he has already done for us. To tell the story of what he has changed in our lives. I have a theory about testimony. Testimony is what Jesus has done. Your history is the stuff that you got away with before he changed your heart. Like you hear, well, I wanted to share my testimony. Well, I was a dirty, rotten, no good, blah, 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 blah. That's your history, man. Your testimony is what he's done for you. Your testimony is the simple truth of what difference the gospel made in your life. What a difference that Christ as your Redeemer, Christ as your Savior, Christ as your Lord has made in your life. That's your testimony. And that's what we get to share with people. Anybody can share all of that other junk, you know, and aggrandize terrible lives. As if, oh yeah, you had to have your fun first, you know. That was not fun. I'm still paying the price for some of the stuff that I did back then. It's a terrible thing. high school is 4 years that it takes you the rest of your life to get over. Oh, it's true. Will you have faith in the day? If today is the day, if you sense God when you're filling up your car with gas and you happen to go in, like, you see how they remove everything from us where we have human interaction, right? You can fill up and get out of there without having to interact with anybody. Go on in and talk to the people and be surprised, but be ready when God shows up. Oh, I got a pain in my shoulder and I just can't get rid of this thing. I know somebody who can fix that. At least I think he can. Will you mind if I pray for a minute? Very few people turn down prayer, I find. And so just pray for a minute, and then it's up to you, God. And watch what he does. Because he's in those things. And he just wants people who would be willing to meet him halfway. Meet him halfway. Right? Just be willing to show up. And he will show up too.